The reading appointed for this day is recorded in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin, that have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the text. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A sentinel Bible passage. First memorized that when I was a kid in my confirmation class way too many years ago. But this is what I call a wow text. It's wonderful, and it's awesome, and it's clear. It is the culmination of Romans chapter 6. The simplicity of this verse, the comparison and contrast of wages versus free gift, of death versus life in Christ Jesus, resonates in the heart of the child of God, redeemed under the umbrella of Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This encapsulates the power and terror of the law. Condemnation, death. While at the same time we hear the beauty of the gospel, that Jesus does it all on the cross. His suffering, his death for the forgiveness of your sins and the redemption of humanity. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Luther uses this text in his Bondage of the Will. In it he responds to Erasmus of Rotterdam. Luther describes our bondage, so full, so complete in our sinfulness that we cannot gain, we cannot work, we cannot earn salvation, we cannot even cooperate. And without Christ, we are doomed to eternal death. The word wages used by Paul, every Roman knows well. It's the same word a centurion in a military organization practices, that one day a month, when as a legionary, you are paid. Romans understood wages. Paul knows this. With wages comes ceremony, a reserving of your identity as a legionary in Caesar's powerful army. Wages from a military perspective is not lost on those who wear the uniform. In the army, the modern army, once a month, unless you're in a combat zone, you have an event called Payday Activities Day. You begin the day typically at 6 o'clock with a gentle 4-mile run. And after the run is over, the commander gathers all the troops in a tight circle and he addresses them. The soldiers are told they did well this month. Missions that seemed impossible were accomplished and the unit can be proud. The soldiers are dismissed and told to report at 09 for an inspection in their finest duty uniform. And a little inside baseball thing about this, it takes hours the night before to get the ribbons on right, the shirt pressed, the shoes shined. At 09, the unit forms up, and the command sergeant major calls everybody to attention, and we form up in what's called an open ranks formation where the commander can walk between us. And now the inspection takes place. Tension is elevated. You are looked at from head to toe. Sometimes you are asked a question. After the inspection, the commander leaves, and we're told to go with the position of at ease. We're told to make corrections to our uniform if necessary, get a haircut, pay your bills, love your family, don't drink and drive, have a safe weekend. And by 12 noon, you're dismissed for the weekend. When preaching on this text many centuries ago, Origen said, Paul employs a military metaphor to good effect by saying that death is the wage due to those who fight under King Sin. But God does not give his soldiers a wage, as Origen goes on to say, as if they have something owing them. Rather, he gives them the gift of grace, which is eternal life in Christ. There's a glaring strength in the simplicity of Romans 6:23. We hear clearly how our works, our energy, and effort to be a good person for the purpose of salvation leads to death. Not just separation from family, not simply a cessation of our taking in air or blood pumping through our veins. This death kills dreams, hopes, purpose, and brings home the reality of separation from God for eternity. This isn't about death that separates the body from the soul. This is death where our sin separates the soul from God. So King Sin has a payday activity for you. Your very nature has you signed on the dotted line for the King Sin and his army. And it's payday, and you stand attention. You're looked at over by King Sin, you work hard. King Sin knows that you're destined for eternal hell. It is a terrible thing to have King Sin as your commander. King Sin doesn't care. You're just cannon fodder for his abuse, only to die in misery and forever. Whether intentionally or not, you are in the employment of eternal death. And there's only one way out of this army. You can't go AWOL, absent without leave. You can't run away, but you can become a slave. Now, we don't like the word slavery. We're big on personal independence as Americans. You know, the famous, I am the master of my ship and the captain of my soul. That's just gibberish. Just as the Romans understood wages, they also understood slavery. So we hear in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, another area of culture and society that the Romans knew well, which is slavery. And Paul writes, "But you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Slavery is when the self is surrendered. Your identity, what do you think of yourself? You're placed under the power and authority of a master. Matter of fact, the word submit in the oldest, most ancient Latin literally means to crawl under a yoke. It is humiliating. The warrior leaves behind the uniform, their primary weapon. The shield is thrown aside and a heap of other tools of war piled high, and you crawl under a device used by an ox. It is shameful and humiliating. In this dichotomy, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, gives us elements of sin, death, eternal life, and the work of Jesus. The contrast of soldiers' wages versus slavery in Romans 6 is intentional. Wages versus free gift. Death versus eternal life. We have the nitty-gritties of salvation in this short passage. The loss in sin. The wages that lead to death in the midst of death. We have transformation from soldier to slave. A good and wonderful thing for all humanity lost under King Sin. We have the undercurrent of servitude, humiliation, and the loss of one's identity replaced by another, a new and beautiful character. It is very clear to go from soldier, dying eternally in sin, to a slave. And this involves activity outside ourselves. On our own, we do not have the ability to surrender and crawl to become a slave. We fight it. We attempt to flee from it. We want no part of it. A soldier wages under King Sin might think, surely there's nothing better than this, but wow, our fallen nature is so strong. We want to stay with King Sin. We must change. We must transform. Christ does it for us. The Lord takes on human form. That's got to be far worse and more humiliating than crawling in the dirt under a shameful yoke. Jesus suffers and dies for us. The Lord God, King of the universe, voluntarily gives up his life in humiliation on a cross made for humanity, and we are changed. Paul continues, "But the gifts of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Our slavery sets us free from sin. Our master crushes King Sin and sets us to be free as people of God, belonging to him forever. Paul describes this in a Christ alone fashion. Look at the gifts that slavery gives us, a total transformation by Christ alone. The gift is rooted in holy baptism. Our baptism in Christ is a death knell in the ears of the devil, and we bring nothing to this fight. But baptism is God's activity. God transforms us through his Holy Spirit. Through water and the word, we are made heirs of his kingdom and extended salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 21, we read, "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." This emboldens us. In the sacrament of the altar, we are nourished again and again with his body and blood and the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins. This emboldens us. We see the Lord as doing all the activity at his font and at his table. The gift of forgiveness and absolution in Christ renews and restores us. In Acts chapter 10, we hear Peter proclaiming to Cornelius and his household, "He that is Christ commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." As we journey through life and confront its challenges, complications, disappointments, sadnesses, terrors, and at times misery, we are not to surrender to despair. In our slavery, we are more than a legionary under sin. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We abide in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our identity is wrapped in him, and he gives us purpose and meaning of life, even to eternal life with Jesus forever. We're given the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.